to the 404 show. It is Friday. It is April. It is the 7th.
One more week to pay taxes.
Everyone cares about. All of a sudden, Scott Stein rushes out of the room, leaving nothing but a trail of receipts behind him. What's up, Scott?
I'm still waiting for like one more form. Yeah, thanks.
What form? Because now we're your accountants and we need to know.
Yeah. I know. Well, it's when my grandfather had passed away.
Why'd you have to get all dark on this?
I know. But it was like 10 years. It was 10 years ago. And there's this like lingering paperwork. It's like complicated.
Okay. Well,
today I learned that Scott hasn't paid taxes in a decade.
I know. No, it's not from then. It's from now. But yeah.
So somebody who will remain nameless.
Be a special episode sometime.
Confided in me a couple weeks ago that they have not paid taxes in 6 years.
I've heard that from other people too. People that have said like, I'm just rolling the dice.
I'm like, oh
my God.
I didn't realize someone could do that.
But you know what? I had delayed doing taxes with my accountant back 2 years and we finally caught up.
Oh, so you didn't pay taxes for 2 years?
We had it.
We just didn't pay.
Yeah, we hadn't done it. That's a huge mistake.
Yeah, don't do that.
There were a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
It's a terrible idea.
Yeah,
it's bad. I mean, we actually thought we were going to get money back.
No.
Didn't you realize you hadn't paid the taxes in a while?
Yeah, weren't you like,
No, we knew the whole time.
So why did you think you were going to get money back?
Because I thought that year that we had overpaid, but we actually ended up, it's so complicated.
Oh my God. That's
it was so stupid. I'm sorry. It's the stupidest thing I've ever done.
No, that's amazing.
It's so bad.
Scott, look, everyone's good at certain things, not so good at other things. It's okay.
It is also the easiest thing for them to just like penalize. It's not like
I know.
It's not like you did secret drugs in a back room.
It was so much.
Have to like send a cop
there. It was a lot of donations. Like it was a lot of donations.
Giant goose egg next to Scott Stein's name.
Well, profit was made
again. Like
by the
people don't get audited. You know who.
I don't think that even you need to be audited to be penalized.
That's like an automatic thing. Probably.
Yeah.
All right. We will not spend this show talking about taxes. I swear to God, we're not.
Take care of your taxes.
That's the takeaway. Brush your teeth, go to the doctor, pay your taxes. We will talk about a lot of other things on the program today. And we will compete with the Giant Bomb dudes next door, as we always do, just for loudness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, but they're good people, so it's not that bad. All right. First off, Scott, what's wrong? You seem like the whole Penn Station thing has brought you to a level of like nihilism.
What does that mean, Penn Station thing?
Bring us. But I'm post vacation, relaxed. I know. So I'm relaxed nihilist.
So for people who live on the east side of Manhattan, past that, Penn Station has been going New York, which is like the major New Jerseyan artery for New Jersey Transit.
Sure.
Millions of people probably every day come through those doors.
And people out of Long Island come through there too, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It is the hub. It is a nexus.
Disgusting building. It's one of the worst buildings.
The Port Authority is the worst.
They're very
building.
Close.
I would lick the Penn Station floor before I would walk briskly through Port Authority.
Port Authority has more catacombs.
Yeah,
like weird tunnels and stuff.
I don't think it's as crowded. Penn Station gets like zoo crowded. I don't think Port Authority. Anyway.
Yeah.
Right. Anyway.
There's been derailments.
It's been a very weird time for transportational infrastructure in Manhattan.
There are two derailments in 2 weeks.
Crazy.
Which is very bizarre. It almost never happens.
And this one, I just got back from vacation. I was like, this is great. Begins with a derailment. Thankfully, no one was injured except for one person was injured. But minor injuries. But the problem was that then everything just mysteriously was still not working and nobody was explaining why. So we had to go into Hoboken. Hoboken was now my Penn Station.
So you were on the train when this happened?
No. I actually didn't even go in that day. Okay. I was going to come in late. And then that when that happened, I was like, well, forget it.
Yeah.
So there's no way to get in.
Yeah. So like long story short, Russ, if Penn Station isn't working okay, Hoboken then sort of becomes because it's the second biggest terminal.
And it's a way to get into the city.
Right. Because a lot of people who come in from Northern Jersey, Central Jersey, they go to Hoboken anyway and then transfer to the path.
And they just take the path.
We're talking a lot of New York City.
Our line used to do that. And then now it went into Hoboken again. And then Hoboken's still not finished with repairs.
Right. So here's the thing.
Derailment.
Right. So like, don't forget, Hoboken had a really terrible derailment about 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And
it was only 6 months ago.
Yeah,
wow.
And the repercussions from that are not yet resolved either. So
there's a huge part that's boarded up.
We are essentially witnessing the decay of New Jersey Transit as an entity.
Like,
this even goes back to like Sandy, where like, after Sandy, like,
well,
the path was destroyed. Like,
I mean,
so this sort of like, and I know where Scott's coming from. It's like this very like feeling of dystopian, like things don't work anymore and they're totally not going to get any better and they're not going to get improved at all. And this is the world we're living in now. And you just have to deal with it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't. Well, and then we had in Atlanta, a highway collapsed or something like 2 weeks ago. Wow. So like infrastructure is not in a good way.
Yeah.
Well, that was because of a fire.
But
that didn't just happen for no reason.
But fires don't generally collapse highways unless there's something wrong with the highway to begin with.
Right. I'm not going to like say this was a perfect bridge.
Sure.
But the fire really screwed up the thing.
Okay,
like,
sure.
Like that was a cause and effect.
Infrastructure is a big problem in the United States.
Perhaps it sped up the you know, coming
it
apart.
All, yeah, it all does feel like an oncoming idiocracy. Like
every, we're rushing towards it.
Yeah, but I will on say, the comedic side, idiocracy. Yeah,
I would say, Scott, your tone when in talking about this stuff, it's kind of like in Office Space when he gets back from the hypnotist. And he's like, yeah, man, well, whatever.
The zen.
It is. Whatever. I have vacation zen meets dystopia.
Why?
It's total zen dystopia. So I'm now, like, yeah, so everything's so falling
zen,
apart.
That zen that's like camouflaging the dread and,
yeah,
and all that
as
stuff.
I'm reading along, I'm reading 1Q84 by Murakami.
Yeah. It's like a that's a thousand, huge book.
Thousand page, also vaguely dystopic book that I've been putting off. So it's like a good match.
Okay, so it's kind of leveling you out. You're almost like constantly medicated?
Yes.
With like some sort of sedative?
And I'm already on like a blood pressure medication that kind of may be doing that. So it's like, I think I am. I'm totally...
You're level.
Wow.
I'm level.
Oh, all right. So we're getting like level drugged out.
Level let's see dystopic. If we can maintain this. But right. I get pissed at times. Like when we were on the PATH train, there was one guy.
Yeah.
There was one guy who, you know, like you, the one person who demanded that I move and made me move into a... He turned around, which was with sunglasses on, and was like, you mind moving back a little bit? And
because you were like in his area? Or?
I don't know. He was just a guy with aviator sunglasses and just like I wasn't anywhere near him. And I didn't think I was affecting anything. But then I moved farther. There was a little part of the PATH train that was like a little punishment corner.
You know, sure.
Where they the do the controls.
Things.
Yeah.
It was too narrow. And he I think he wanted me to go join the other people
oh my
who
God.
Were withdrawn like hermit crabs.
So this wasn't a conductor?
Narrow. No. And so I thought, okay, I'll step back. And I was like kind of felt like I was being pushed deeper into this narrow hole.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Wait. So.
And then the next day I went on and another guy just wouldn't, it was the opposite. I didn't feel like I wanted to yell, but a guy
too close.
Was giving a lot of arm space and just taking up this whole area.
Doing like the wide stance.
And I couldn't get a handhold.
Yeah.
And I was trying to get in and he just kept giving me looks and I was like, what? I want to, what is it? You have to move because.
You know what the power move is? You just put your hand on his hand.
Oh, that's a solid move.
The best move
or
ever.
You just start like stroking the top of his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Ever so gently.
Excuse me. And then I just snake my fingers.
Or you just like go up
to his knuckles.
Or you go up right to his ear where your lips are almost touching his lobe.
And I go.
And you just go, I want kisses.
I just go up to him and I go,
hey. be like, what stop you getting off
at? When I got out, I'm not a violent person. When I got out the next stop, I did maybe put on my backpack and push past him a little intensely.
Like this shoulder check?
I may have done the bag.
The bag thing.
Thing.
Bag thing. Nice.
Damn, you told him.
Yeah. I know, he didn't care. But other than that, though, PATH actually, an all-defensive PATH, has been pretty smooth for this dystopia.
Oh, yeah. I'll defend PATH all day. That
PATH is the
is
best part
good.
Of the experience.
Totally. Okay, what's your... So we're going to interject.
Like this is too good of a segue story.
Right. Before
segue.
We get to the next stuff, Russ has a Subway story. What's up, Russ?
Okay, so this morning...
What happened to you?
This morning. This morning, I had to go to the doctor relatively early. But as I was going to the doctor... I grabbed an egg sandwich, which I had for breakfast, and an apple juice, which I'm still drinking, and scarfed it down really quickly. So I'm very conscious of not eating hot food on the subway because I think it's gross and people shouldn't have to smell your hot food.
That's nice of you. I mean, please, there's people who like clip their nails on the
subway. I totally agree, but I don't feel like I should be one of those people. So on the subway platform, I like horked down my egg sandwich like very quickly and finished it before the subway came. And so I get on the subway and it's like 5 minutes later and I have like a little bit of a tickle in my throat and I kind of cough cover my mouth.
Oh,
I covered my mouth and somehow.
Oh God.
Through the, it was
God.
Like there was an escape route.
No.
Through
no.
my hand.
No.
And a microscopic piece of egg came shooting out like a rocket
and
landed on someone's foot.
Shit.
And
oh.
I'm like,
my God. Wait, so did they know? Oh, shit.
They definitely knew. Were they like, they like looked down when I looked down.
Were they like, oh, look at that.
And there's, I mean, I did not know how to handle it.
Yeah.
I normally can, like, I'm very like, if I drop, spill something, whatever, I'll like, I'm sorry, pick it up. But I'm not going to like go down to the subway floor and like take the egg sandwich piece off of her
shoe. Excuse me.
So I just like mumbled like, and then turned my back away from it just to be like, but I could still see her in the reflection.
Oh, so was she like mortified?
I would have changed cars.
Looking down and like moving her foot away and like trying to see what it was.
Oh, fuck.
And I was just like so mortified because I'm really self-conscious about like trying to be like considerate for people.
Oh my God.
And it was just like a perfect storm of bad for me.
I would have pretended to check my phone and then at the next station, pretend to get out and then just switch cars. I would have been so awful.
Well,
so
I did. Mercifully,
horrified.
My stop was the next stop. So and mercifully, then just, I was able to just get out. But I just like
but
felt
I do that a
so
lot.
You cough eggs on people.
You know what the worst? Okay, the worst thing for me, this is really, you're never going to want to hear this again.
I just like, I'm thinking about the morsel of egg
it
on this
It was like a slow motion,
shoe.
Like flying through space.
Wait, Russ.
What?
How did this happen?
What do you mean?
How did it come out of
you?
But like,
came out of your mouth.
There must have been some little piece left over in my mouth.
What dumb luck you have.
I'm telling you, man.
I believe this. I believe it too. I've been there.
Concerned.
Oh, I have no problem believing this happened to Russ in reality. Like,
can I say one thing, which is that this is even a little more disgusting. Like, have you ever had the moment? I'm worried if I say this now, you'll be like, oh, Scott is really hideous. But like,
don't worry.
The moment where you may cough or sneeze and a similar thing happens, but you've been eating no egg sandwich.
What?
I'm talking about a little particle. You're like, was it in my mouth the whole time?
Like, Scott. That's from like 6 hours ago?
I don't know. It's a decaying, like a half-life, like a
like
particle, an emitting particle from me.
Russ,
decaying rot.
You believe this guy?
No, it doesn't happen a lot. It's happened like once.
That's so gross.
Yeah, that's
gross. That's the part where I wanted to
die. I just can't
die.
Seem to make a seal is my problem. When I sneeze and when I cough.
Well, yes, because the point of sneezing is to not keep your mouth closed.
I'm talking about with my hands.
Okay.
Like, I'll sneeze and it'll just go up into my glasses. Yeah.
Don't do a complete seal. One time I completely closed my mouth because I didn't want to.
And his eyeballs fell out.
It is. Like, my nose and my sinuses hurt for days. Like, something went up there and it, like, it was this terrifying explosion.
Out air at like over 100 miles an hour.
Particles went up through my nose, like it lacerated part of my throat. It was a bit of like celery went.
We are gross.
I'm sorry.
People.
I'm
humans
sorry,
are
people.
Look. Humans are gross, right? They do gross things. I can't tell you how many times you see someone who just like sneezes on the subway or in public and like looks at what they've done to their hands and is just completely filled with disgust. It just kind of like, I don't know, washes it off on their shirt or on their pants.
Where else are they going to put it?
I don't know. Maybe that's why people did carry handkerchiefs back when. I still think that's a disgusting thing for someone to do.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, perhaps there are useful applications for that.
But what happens when you have that gooey sneeze and then you have not brought a tissue?
Right.
I don't know.
Really,
you just like rub
trouble.
It in your hair like pomade or...
Oh, pomade.
Who knows?
Jeffrey.
The first part of my vacation, I had like some weird sinus overdose. Like I got like a 2-day cold and I was the guy in Aruba like suddenly
sneezing away.
The hideous sneezes. Like the stuff you're like, ooh.
Patient zero.
Like, God, I couldn't even smell.
How was Aruba?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was a lot of pool. There was this one lazy river where the kids all
went
around.
I've been to the place you go to.
Yeah. It was great.
Did you do
that's
the Brazilian
why I have
barbecue?
Yes. Nice. Texas to Brazil. But you know the tragic part?
What?
I had been trying to eat healthy before then. I went to the Brazilian barbecue and I had no sense of smell. Thus, no sense of taste.
Yeah.
I ate all the food I wanted and could taste none of
that's
it.
That's like
that's
hell.
Tragic.
And the guy like, came around and was like,
it's like a Disney recipe.
Smell this liqueur, this amazing 43 liqueur. He was like, have a sniff. And I sniffed it, could not smell anything, but I didn't want to offend him.
Yeah.
Sure.
So I went, he said, do you like it? And I nodded and I was like, great.
Lovely.
It's great. I could not smell a thing.
Isn't there like a weird Sopranos themed bar down there too?
Yes. But I didn't know what it was. They kept advertising it in the coupon books and things. The things they would like hand you.
This part of Aruba
Sopranos.
I've been to as well.
I think I've been there as well.
It's so strange.
Yes.
But it's
because it's
nice.
Designed for like people from out of town. It's not
exactly.
Like locals.
Oh, no, of course.
And everyone's from the the person who sat next to me on the plane was literally at the same place as me. And was next to me, like, at the pool.
No.
And they were like, hey, good to see you. I'm like, you were sitting next to me on the plane.
Yeah. This is how that works.
And we I actually first thought they were in the wrong seat, and then I was in the wrong seat. So it was really awkward, and I was like, hey, have a great vacation.
I want to take a break. But when we come back, we have to talk about this goddamn Pepsi ad.
Oh, boy.
I know you've seen it. I know you're disgusted, but we really need to talk about it and break it down.
I thought it was great.
Just one more time.
I just wanted a tease to keep people listening.
More after this. Hey, everyone. This week, we're sponsored by Subaru. Thank you, Subaru. Full disclosure, Russ.
Yeah.
I have 5 Subaru Foresters.
As of the last week.
I just have 1 Subaru Forester, and I do love it, and I just want to get that out of the way. But if you're in the market for a car, right, Russ?
I do not have a car, so I might be in the market.
Okay. When I was buying a Subaru, I joined a forum and got a lot of help from people who owned Foresters. So Subaru's doing something similar, but on their end, okay? When you're shopping for a car, talking with someone is the most helpful way to be informed about the vehicle. Better than anyone, they know what the car is really like. These car owners are the sources you want to speak with.
They can describe the new car smell like a fine wine.
They actually bottle it and distribute it through the forums. It's a great new thing. That's why on meetanowner.com, you are going to be able to meet real Subaru owners and get an unfiltered look at what it's like to own a Subaru. On the website, Subaru owners can create their own profile where they share interesting videos, photos, and stories. And Subaru owners are filled with interesting sights and sounds and information that they can share with you. Russ.
Yeah.
They're going to share with you.
Just with me. I'm looking forward to it.
It depends. But hopefully it's more than just you. People who are curious about what the brand is like can even reach out and communicate one-on-one with owners of Subaru cars and get their questions answered firsthand.
That's awesome.
Seems like the right move if you're interested in buying a Subaru vehicle. Now, what we need you to do, if you're interested, go to Subaru. Go to meetanowner.com. You will learn from real owners, see what it's like to own a Subaru and what it can do to your driving life. Again, check out meetanowner.com. Big thank you to the fine people at Subaru. Hey, welcome back to the show. Scott Stein joining us on this Friday. He just waved. He waved so that everybody could see.
I tried to say hi. Nothing came out, and I waved.
You're like, hello,
I'm still
there.
On mental vacation.
It's okay. It's all the drugs.
It is.
Speaking of drugs, I thought I was on acid when I watched the Pepsi ad that everyone lost their
Kendall
minds
Jenner
over.
Kendall Jenner Pepsi ad.
So if you haven't seen it... lucky you, but I still recommend everyone see it because everyone should see some terror in the world, right? They should see what can really happen.
I think it's a fascinating look at like what, how many things can go wrong within a single advertisement.
Right. So story short, let's kind of like summarize the full 2-minute ad. I'll try and do a good job. Fill in the blanks where you see fit.
Go for it.
Have you seen it as well, Scott?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Speaking of commuting, I first caught it when I was waiting in Hoboken to catch my train on the delay. So it was perfect. I saw the full 2-minute version, but then it froze halfway through and would still stream the music because I was going through the tunnel my horrible commute. So it was like dystopic New Jersey Transit meets Pepsi ad.
Wow. That is like the most appropriate kind of like situation for you to experience that. And then explosion. You sneezed all over the screen to boot. So it starts off, the extended version starts off as like a photo shoot. And it basically...
It's like a model shoot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I think like where it starts getting appalling is... Who is it? Kendall Jenner? Is that
Kendall Jenner,
woman's name? So
she is one of the Kardashians.
She is being shot in a seemingly photo shoot next to what appears to be some kind of protest.
Yes.
And the protest is going on, and the protest doesn't have like any kind of like angry vibe to it. It's more of just more of a parade.
Yeah.
I feel like is an appropriate word to describe it.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's definitely like a lot of signs that say like resist and like fight back. So it's not a parade insofar as they have a point to it, I guess.
Right. Yeah.
But it does not seem like there's genuine anger. It's more like, hey, maybe you should do this.
Right. And so there's multiple things that already, red flags are going up already. A, why a photo shoot next to a protest? That's weird. B, you're okay. We're just going to casually join into this seemingly meaningless thing that's happening.
Yeah.
Whatever. She joins the protest.
Well, so there's one thing you missed. Sorry. So in the long two-minute version, there's also what appears to be a Muslim woman who is working on photographs that she had taken already.
Yes.
And she's wearing a headscarf. But she's also drinking Pepsi.
I can't recall if she was if they were depicting a Muslim woman or an Indian woman or I can't remember. I can't recall.
She had a headscarf that looked like hijab, so I might be misspeaking, but my gut said it was hijab, okay. And, which is a Muslim. Fair anyway, so she is drinking a Pepsi while she's like working on some photos that she took already, like looking at the negatives, and then she gets frustrated at one point and like
she's like, I don't have what I need,
and she crumples up the photos that she had. And like takes one last swig of Pepsi and then runs outside
to face the day
to join this protest that's going on
outside her studio.
Sure, it's happening outside her studio.
It's a busy area.
It's a busy area.
A lot of
people protesting at Times Square.
And it's unclear like what the photos were initially. Like, did she take a trip to the zoo with her niece and she wasn't happy about those photos?
Was that where the brunch was? Was that when the brunch part?
I don't remember that.
They were like
someone
having
does
brunch.
Like get up from brunch and join.
Some people
it too.
Were a, eating. I just remember there was a shot of people like having a meal right outside
it
on the sidewalk.
It does seem like
there.
The theme is basically like people drink Pepsi and then are inspired to change the world. I think that was the genuine like idea.
They also follow an Asian man.
I don't remember the Asian man.
There is an Asian man in a beanie.
Okay.
That they follow. With,
oh
like,
yes,
with, like,
he's
earplugs.
The one that like. He nods to Kendall Jenner and is like, hey, come on.
Hey, you're famous. You should join the movement. Regardless. Ooh. So it's this like such a lighthearted, casual take on something that's very serious and very troubling in the times we live in. And she comes in and
joins the march.
She comes in and grabs a Pepsi out of the coolers that have been placed throughout the protest line.
She was wearing like a wig. She ditches the wig.
And then like smears off a new color of lipstick too. She's a goddamn transformer.
Was the transformation meant to be like,
I don't know.
Now you know who I am?
I don't know what that meant.
Real Kendall Jenner.
I don't know what that meant either.
I don't know. To be honest, I didn't really know much about her before. So like, I'm a checked out dad. So
I think
like,
that was the idea.
Yeah. So now I was like, well, this one person transformed into another person. Right.
Another gorgeous person.
Yeah. I was like, that felt like a David Lynch, like Mulholland Drive. Like I still the same
weird.
Person.
Yeah.
She somehow gets to like the front line.
Yeah.
Of the
she picks up the Pepsi and she like fist bumps a guy with the Pepsi.
She's like, as if to say, oh, now I'm drinking this sugar brown water. We're now part of the same movement.
Yes.
So what do you say I talk to this cop at the front of the protest?
Yeah.
And she brings the cop a Pepsi.
Yeah.
The cop takes the Pepsi,
yeah.
Looks at it, opens it up, looks at his partner, and was like, hey, these guys are all right.
Huh? Yeah, they brought a Pepsi.
And they then like celebrate that as if they've somehow won the thing they're fighting
and
for.
And the initial photographer takes a photo of that and everyone like high fives the photographer like that's the photo of your life right there is Kendall Jenner giving the Pepsi to the cop.
What the fuck is going on?
It's what's so amazing about it, there's so many layers that are amazing, but consider the one big one, which is the number of people that had to watch that ad.
Oh my God.
And say like, we nailed it.
Like, right. I don't understand
we nailed it.
How that
it's so deliberate.
Got so far.
Because it's not a cheaply produced ad. It's like they spent some money on it.
Sure.
Yeah. And it took some time.
Yeah.
They probably paid her $1 million.
Yeah.
That was a signature.
And probably
effort.
Did not make up for the pain and suffering that caused.
I don't understand how something so shockingly tone deaf, missing the mark in a way that is almost inconceivable.
Yeah.
The fact that it got even to the point where they were like, let's rent the cameras for this. We're green lighting this son of a bitch.
Yeah.
I don't understand. How could Kendall Jenner have read the script and been okay with it? How could all of these people vetted it?
Well,
how
she
could
clearly, she didn't read it.
Fine.
She needs
but
to fire
knew,
whoever the manager
of course.
Is that like, said this was okay.
And I'm not... You know, look, people are like, oh, she was victimized by this.
What?
Yeah. People are like, oh, Pepsi put her in a really bad place.
No.
Well,
She knew what the ad was.
That's my thing, right? There's no way that she did not understand what this was.
It's not like she was like, oh, Pepsi gave me $1 million and then
I'm just going to be a shell of a person.
Just like, in front of a green screen.
Yeah,
the rest got added.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know. I'm not going to spend time being upset with her. Okay?
No, whatever.
I'm more, obviously more upset with Pepsi. And that is by far way more upsetting than the ad itself. The fact that like people thought this was good.
Well, so people in Pepsi. I don't think anyone outside of Pepsi was like great.
People thought this was good to move ahead with.
Yeah, it's amazing. And the number of approvals and like
and meetings and flights.
Like someone had to write the idea, get that idea approved, do art, get that idea approved, do shooting, get that approved. Like every layer of it. And it's
to trivialize protesting.
That part makes you so uncomfortable. That's the worst. It is the worst part of it.
The country has never been in my lifetime more effed up.
Yeah.
And to trivialize the thing that people are so passionate about and the only thing that we sort of like have.
Yeah.
Right. Left.
Mm-hmm.
And to just make fun of it, like almost brush it off, like
sure.
Have some shit water that's going to make you fat.
Well, here's what I'm going to say. Consider, you know, in their defense, consider the number of people that had to approve Suicide Squad as well.
Oh my God. I respect you making the joke. I don't know. I am very upset with a world that allowed this to happen.
I want the Pepsi ad about the making of the Pepsi ad where it's like all the approvals and everything.
Oh, I'll listen to that. Drinking NPR the Pepsi, series.
Yeah. Watching the footage.
Barbara Walters interview or something that can like shed light on how this happened. It's fascinating.
There are the few people that were uncomfortable with it and knew and were like, well, everyone's liking it. We must continue on. Those people?
There are certain corporate cultures where it's like you don't want to be the no person.
Right.
You don't want to be the like.
I guess we're going far with this.
What but, like, and then like their
knowing
statement,
you've done it.
And then Pepsi's statement was just like, I guess we were off the mark on this one.
Yeah, we were off the mark, and we apologized to Kendall Jenner. Those were the two things. Like, maybe all the people that you use their imagery effectively, like the final shot. Matches perfectly with like a shot that was taken during one of the Black Lives Matter protests where it's like that same like face to face with a cop and a single woman.
Yeah.
The difference is Kendall Jenner's giving him a Pepsi. Like you just basically took all the iconography that's been going on for the last 3, 5, 7 years and
belittled it.
Ads.
Yeah. It's so shockingly appalling and offensive. And you're right. Like, if that does not personify, encapsulate the our descent into idiocracy, I don't know what does.
Well, at least people reacted to it. And
they did.
They pulled the ad.
And they so pulled the ad, but the ad's not pulled. You can't pull anything anymore.
Well, but I think it is scorned.
Yes, it's not like currently
scheduled.
And it's scheduled.
Certainly not helping their sales.
It's not scheduled.
It's not
you know, like
good for them.
It's not going to be on during like, you know, the next basketball game.
Yeah.
But oh my God.
I was like ready to hit the Carl's Jr. ATM. At Hoboken after that.
Yeah, I just
and
like,
get my health insurance.
Exactly.
From it.
I like the first time I saw it, it was so cringeworthy that I like almost couldn't make it through.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like and then when I showed Stacy it after, I had to look away. I was like, oh, here's the bar.
So the first time I saw it was actually the parody video. I did not see the original, but someone linked me the parody video, which is essentially a recut version of the 30-second commercial. But just overlaying the Mentos theme,
yes,
which is on YouTube. You could just Google that. But it was so perfect because it ends with like the cop smiling and the freeze frame of like Mentos, the fresh maker, and it's just spot on. I watched it like 4 times. And I was like, I don't get this joke.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, I found out that it was actually an ad. So I watched the ad after that. I was like. Oh
right, and the person who did that was Max Pelucci on YouTube.
Yeah,
just to give some credit where credit is due. That's the world we're in now.
I only saw the 2+ minute version and didn't realize there was a shorter one. And I was like, wow, are they just gonna put this up as a film? Is this just like how is it gonna take a long time during a commercial for people to sit through? There's a short baby version. I didn't understand. And then I hit like play again accidentally. And then I was like, well, I'm just going to keep watching this until I disappear into bones.
Yeah. Right. I just disintegrate.
Sit on my train.
I guess I'll die now. Like,
this is the end.
That's totally the
it's
the
fine.
Vibe I was
it's
getting.
Fine.
All right. We got a little heated there. Let's calm things down a little bit. Let's talk about stuff we all mutually enjoy, and that is the world of video games. And there's been a few things going on. We've had a great launch of Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. I think we can call that great.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a lovely little console.
It's still like $600 on eBay, so clearly they're doing pretty well.
Right.
That's crazy, yeah.
They're not doing well in the ability to manufacture more of them, but they seem to be... Yeah.
Demand is high.
The demand. Project Scorpio. That's Xbox's new console that will be out this year, and we finally got like a spec dump on, when was that, Tuesday? About what exactly is going to be under the hood for Project Scorpio, which is the code name for the console. I don't know what it's going to be called. I would think it's called like Xbox Cool. Cool.
I think you need to still Xbox call 10. It Xbox One something. So maybe Xbox One Plus or Xbox One.
Xbox One 2.
Xbox One 0 for Windows 10.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott. Now
look
you're
at
playing
that.
With power. I really, no one ever like gets those right though. You know what I mean?
Names?
Like, no one, like how did nobody guess PS4 Pro? How did nobody guess that?
Yeah, that does seem weird.
That's like right there. That's like right on the tip of your nose.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever the hell this thing's called, it's a beefy machine.
Yeah.
It's nowhere near what a top of the line gaming PC could do right now, but it's pretty good.
What do you think? It's comparable to like a $1,000 gaming PC? When it comes,
no less.
Less.
I think like maybe $700.
So, but it's okay. Yeah, it just seems weird to me that like you could run a bunch of games at 4K on a $700 gaming PC. Like,
well, here's the thing: like, there's a lot of tricks that PS4
like
Pro.
Optimized.
There's this thing called checkerboarding, which is like a manipulation that allows you to have a higher resolution, but not the same amount of intensive calculations that require a native 4K thing. It's complicated.
Yeah.
What you learn from all of this when you dive deep into the specs and try and understand just what the hell is going on with this new machine, you come to realize, oh, none of this matters. All that matters is that they need to have new games that take advantage of new hardware that make a compelling proposition for you to want to buy one of these things. And right now, Xbox... is not in that position to do so. They don't have something that makes me want to say, hey, you're looking for a new console? You should buy that console.
Right. I don't know what they need a system seller, and I don't know what that is. I think the games will run better than they do on PS4 Pro, and certainly PS4, but those games, I mean, if you don't have exclusives and you don't have something to show it off, I don't like... That's a tough sell for people.
Right. I don't understand how you make the case. And it seems like, hold that thought, Scott. It seems like what they're hanging on is that we have the most powerful console. And that's all that matters. What's up? And I get it.
It's like you have a super-powered sports car, but no gas.
Right. Exactly. Or no road to drive it on.
Right.
Like, I get it. Like, yes, to me, that is not a compelling thing anymore. The proof is in the pudding. What were you going to say, Scott?
I'm curious about two things with it. One is the like parallel between that and Windows 10, because I feel like they keep flirting with the idea of like the Xbox as a Windows PC. Or are they going to pull the trigger here and run a similar game library?
Right.
But then the problem still is that on a Windows PC you have Steam and stuff like that. So then you're going to have a different game store, and that's the problem.
In a weird way, they've like kind of backed themselves into a corner.
Yeah.
You know.
But then the second part related to that is like. Is not a 1 year later, I feel like seems to matter a lot less, but is about VR. Like, it seems like this is going to be a VR connected thing.
And I think it's VR. They've said it's VR capable.
Right.
But I don't think anyone cares.
That's the problem.
And like, I don't care. Like, they better. I don't think it would be fortuitous for them to bring that up when they at E3
to make a big deal.
As a bullet
deal.
Point, like, maybe, but we certainly don't lead with that.
Yeah, not me like a line item, not like, hey, check this out. You know,
I mean, Microsoft's going down this like different approach with VR anyhow with these like low cost headsets that are coming out for their Windows 10 PCs. And I keep imagining that that's going to be the thing that works with the new Xbox. I'm thinking, is there going to be some, you know, or these low cost, because you're not going to be able to hook up like a probably a Rift or a Vive, and then you have library problems.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think,
but like, then it's true. Maybe not, don't make a big deal out of it, because at this point,
you're not impressing anybody.
No, and they're not the things that people are buying games for.
People have probably never been this disinterested in VR at this point in time, right?
Yeah.
So obviously, you don't want to lead with that. All of a sudden, seemingly like over 6 months, you have a huge shift, right? Sony is very solidified in their sort of roadmap.
Yep.
There's a lot of exclusives still coming to that console. They've worked out great sort of relationships with indie developers and publishers. Mm-hmm. They've got a good thing going, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even Switch, first party.
Yep.
It's light, right? It's a little light. But they seem to have made a somewhat compelling case on the indie sides of things. And it looks like at least through 2017 and maybe the first half of 2018, it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
So they're, and again, like, I also like to say, like, hey, they're not in direct competition with Sony and Microsoft. So then all of a sudden you have Microsoft, who seems to kind of be behind the eight ball a little bit.
Yeah. They just, I think the issue is that their first party studios have just like kind of rested on their laurels for the last 3 or 4 years. And we've seen Halos come out. We've seen Gears of War games come out that have been pretty good. They're good games, but they're not like, they don't stand out necessarily. They, in the way that like everyone was sort of blown away by Zelda and how much it changed with the formula and stuff like that, Microsoft doesn't seem to have taken that level of risk with their software development in 10 years.
Right.
And that's a problem. And that's really where they're at right now. Like, they're not telling the story. They're not, I think Sony has the, their exclusives are known for telling maybe more matured stories or like Last of Us, stuff like that. And Microsoft is sort of feels like a little bit from another generation. They just haven't really updated yet. So,
I mean, like,
they have some exciting games coming out, for what it's worth. Like, I'm excited about Crackdown, and I think that'll look really good with good hardware.
Mm-hmm. But like, where? But again,
yeah.
Like, what is their press conference going to look like? Are they only? Are they going to continue to lean into their very specky sort of?
I don't think they can. I think this was the time where they went crazy in spec, and they gave the exclusive to Digital Foundry, which is a very good site that does like heavy, heavy spec stuff. Right. And I don't think they can do that anymore. I think they have to like lead with, this is the major difference, and you almost need to do either. You do a side-by-side with like what a PS4 looks like versus an Xbox Scorpio. I mean, everyone's going to be doing these like Xbox One versus Scorpio like comparison videos to show the difference. And it needs to look dramatic as hell. And it might.
It's probably,
but it needs to.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like it's going to go down the same route as PS4 Pro, where they do sort of, you know, that boost mode thing that just got unlocked on the Pro, where it makes all legacy games seem have the potential to look better / perform better. It sounds like every Xbox One game is going to benefit from that out of the gate, which also includes all the backward compatible stuff. So there's that. This is going to be a more expensive console. This is probably going to be maybe a $500 machine.
I think it could be $600.
So there you have it, based on the specs. So how's that going to shake out? And then, look, they have to pull rabbits out of hats. Like, they are going to basically have to. And it can't be, for my money, it can't be like a surprise Halo thing or like something or like a franchise that you're all too familiar
with. No, I mean, so I was talking with the Giant Bomb guys earlier, and they were talking about an exclusive deal with Kojima for Death Stranding, which I don't necessarily think would move hardware. But I think,
how could they do that? They've already had something with PlayStation.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. It's like they can't for that game.
Of that caliber, you mean?
That caliber. That's what I'm talking about. Like a big name developer.
Peter Molyneux's next project.
Well, but that's the problem. Is like there are not very many big name developers left that can cause that level of like interest.
Right.
I mean, and like maybe they'd look to BioWare for an exclusive, but BioWare just released Mass Effect to really bad reviews, so you can't necessarily rely on that. So like
Super Minecraft,
I think they do need to lean on third party and maybe third party exclusives, but that's also burn them. Like look at Titanfall.
Yeah,
the original Titanfall did not move hardware like they thought it would.
Perhaps it should have, but it didn't.
Yeah, it didn't. So yeah. I don't know what their options are. Like they need to, as you said, pull rabbits out of hats.
I think they'll push VR. I think despite the lack of interest.
You think maybe they'll lean into that?
I think it'll be part of it. I think it has to be, whether or not
it's gonna be
weird. It's what they're setting up their Windows landscape for. But it's weird because it's like hitting a year off and But I think that's one of the things you use that power for. But then that's the problem is that like dot, dot, dot.
It's like, also really funny that they're, it's also really funny that their biggest gaming property doesn't require horsepower at all. And that's Minecraft.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could run that on a phone.
You could run that on your phone.
I say Super Minecraft.
Super Minecraft.
It's
Minecraft like you've never seen circles before. Now.
They're in a weird spot, and I'm by far. I'm definitely interested to see the things that Nintendo teases at E3.
Mm.
Sony, you kind of feel like we know what we're gonna get.
Yeah.
But Microsoft, I cannot wait.
I would also say like Sony. See. Sony, the last couple of years has had some pretty big surprises that I was not expecting at all.
Sure.
So I wouldn't be surprised. Nintendo, I agree with you, and Microsoft, really like they. They have a lot to lose, and the pressure's on. So we'll see if they can come through.
Yeah, I mean, for the last 3 years, I keep thinking like, oh, it's weird that we haven't heard that like Microsoft bought a studio,
right?
Or it's weird they haven't like acquired X or Y, because that well is seemingly dry.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
it's got to. It has to be games, and if it's not, then nobody cares about specs.
Nobody cares. Yep.
And there's nothing you can really show.
Right.
Like how good, that's like in the PC landscape. That's why VR was a big deal for PC graphics card makers. Yep. It was just that they had something to say, this is what you use it for. Because it's so hard to demonstrate anything else.
But it's all about the games. You look at Zelda runs on hardware from 6 years ago and looks great.
Right.
So
and looks even better after that patch. Like the patch smoothed it out.
Yeah. So you just need good art design and good game designers, but we'll see if they have that.
And, I know a lot of people, look, we're programmed to think the higher numbers equal better things, right? Like this has 5 gigs more RAM. It's therefore better.
It's just the potential for better things, but it does not equal better things.
You know, the tools are there.
Yep.
How you use them is another story. Don't forget PS3 was significantly more powerful than a 360. Like it was on paper a better machine.
Sure.
But Xbox 360 seemed to make it work better.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Also, still find this like half console upgrade thing weird. Like, I feel like it never goes well in the history of video games. Like, I guess jury's still out with PS4 Pro. It's like,
I think it's just for people that. I think it's a way to convince people that haven't already gotten something
to finally push
to
their
jump
hand,
in the middle of the middle of the cycle and feel like, oh, well, look at what I'm getting. It's the brand new thing.
I think if you are someone who has a 4K TV and no console, you get a 4K console.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's weird for things. Then you also have the Xbox One S, which is kind of has elements of
it. It does do 4K, right?
It does.
Video,
it does 4K.
For video.
Oh, yeah. It could play 4K Blu-rays.
But it's like a lot of options.
Yeah, it's confusing.
The S I remember when that came out. It's still to this day, it's sort of just like a what kind of Anyway, we'll see what happens with Mr. Scorpio when he or she shows his or her face. There it is, Roger Scorpio. Welcome to the stage, Roger. All right. Last thing I want to talk about is some Mac stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys would indulge me,
please.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people are kind of unfamiliar with the Mac Pro line of computers that Apple has been putting out for a while.
This is the cylinder. It looks like a suppository.
Right. For like an elephant, maybe.
That was a weird thing that happened this week.
Do you want to take the lead on that? How would you describe that?
So Apple had a sit down with a couple of publications and individuals. It was a very small group.
Yeah.
Not CNET, but like not a lot of places. It was, I read about it online, Red Gruber's, thing on it and Daring Fireball first, but it was like, you know, they were basically sitting down to say, hey, there is a new Mac Pro that will come, but it's not here now.
Right. It seemed kind of weird. They were like, we know we've kind of done that line of disservice the last few years.
Yes, we acknowledge that because there were a lot of a lot of talk for a long time now. There have been no updates to the Pro line. And that was the whole point of that cylinder was to have an awesome Pro tool.
Right.
And there is nothing, and it's not up to snuff with that. So there is now a new update to that Pro. I hadn't been following it, but I was talking to Ackerman.
It's just not out yet.
Yeah, but that little update to the Pro, there's like small...
Right. Incremental.
Not a big deal. They did that now. And then, like, there is one coming, also hinting at iMac in a more pro capacity.
Yeah, it's
but that's not here, and a display that's also not going to be here.
Right,
and yes, and thank you for coming. You know, it's like yeah. So. It was like this. It was a conversation, but it was a public conversation in the sense that this became a story. It wasn't like right. just a meeting where you just like chat about it and catch up. This was like an announcement of sorts, but yeah. It was done via discussion. With nothing to show.
It was like a sub-tweet announcement. Like, it was yeah. very... So
with nothing to show. So it was a very, very unusual thing for Apple. As far as for Apple.
Yeah.
And acknowledged the delays.
And the fact that they were, like, sort of like, sorry, yeah. you know, about yeah. like that. So a little bit of context. The Mac Pro, for people who don't know, right. is the line, a high-end line of computers that that Apple puts out that are for the designers, for the video editors.
It's an industry.
Heavy computer, duty stuff. Yeah. They edit feature films on these things. Like yep. they are very graphically intense, powerful yep. horsepower machines. And that whole line of computers was sort of forgotten about. Yep. And I think mm-hmm. the fact that they were forgotten about on the Pro, and look at like, you know, the backlash about all the laptops yep. lately too.
The
like,
MacBook Pro, yeah.
Yeah.
Apple doesn't necessarily have the best computers for your money right now, or maybe ever, to be honest. But
they've just been in a really weird place computer-wise.
Yeah. Computer-wise, because, like, it's been weird.
I was just talking about this the other day. It's like the MacBook Air had it. Everyone loved it. Right. It nailed it. There was not a single person who didn't have an Air. Every other computer maker wanted to do it. Then all of a sudden – that has totally shifted.
Right, and they kind
Windows of, machines have all done these great wrinkles and sure. gotten better. And yeah, and there was no real update to the Air. You have all these variants.
Yeah.
So now it's like you have to pick your yeah. path. It's bizarre. And then on the Pro side, so there's a lot of questions. Like, are they – I keep thinking they're going to wait to some sort of fusion with the iPad still or evolve the iPad. Like, but is that coming? When is that happening? Like, you know, Macs are still not touchscreen. It's just – it's weird.
Yeah, you know,
got the touch bar.
I think for a lot of people, it's like real tough to like admit like they're human, you know, and like they're not this like sort of like magical Oz that just pumps out a computer every yeah. now and then. Like yeah. they, you know, they kind of miss the mark a little bit with their laptops and with the Pro, and it's going to be, you know, a weird transitional time into like sort of accepting them back into the marketplace. When it comes to those lines of computers.
Well, yeah, and it's like these things they've done, like the touch bar is intriguing. It's not a bad idea maybe in things down the road, but it's not the answer.
Right.
And they have a lot of ideas that are not the answer. It's like that new smaller MacBook is, you know, it's fun, but it's missing things other people are going to – it's anyway, but that's the thing. But then they also suggested the new Mac Pro is going to be modular.
Mm-hmm.
That it's yeah. going to be much more modular and expandable.
Easy to upgrade.
Yes. There was acknowledgement about – you know, thermal challenges, and that this right. is like, you know, that design probably hit a wall, and that, you know, you have to figure out something else, or that talking about how small that market is for them relatively, but still, it's like for people who need that, which it seems like a you know, there's right. a big need for that though, for those who do, then you're not going to pick a Mac as a platform.
It's kind of amazing that even in our yeah. offices, the amount of time where like Apple has sort of like stayed stagnant in the world of creativity professionals. You look at like the even editing software, like we use Premiere now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We used to use Final Cut. Now we use Premiere
mm-hmm. yeah.
pretty much exclusively. And you know what? Premiere works really well on yeah. Windows.
Yeah.
And yeah. it's almost like a changing of the guard. Apple is for the first time in a while, in my opinion, they are playing catch up.
Yeah.
And you can say they play catch up on a lot of features, but they are really not kind of like out of the party when it comes to that.
Yeah, they've always had the edge when it came to design. So the hardware design right. was always ahead
aesthetics,
of the curve.
They've always been there.
And, yeah. But in terms of like overall horsepower, you could always get better bang for your buck on a PC. There was yeah. no question because you were paying for design and industrial whatever and the software, etc. But now, because all of these companies like Windows, you know, Microsoft and all these other laptop companies have really done a great job matching the level of design on the Mac stuff, you no longer have that edge with Apple.
So they call their bluff. Like,
so, yeah, and then you have to ask yourself, what are you paying that premium for? So, like, you know, a lot of people love using Mac OS and stuff like that, so that's a reason, but it's still a very expensive property.
Yeah.
And I think modular is a great way to go. I think people want to make a Mac investment and keep that investment for 3 to 4 years.
Right, and not
they
be
don't
locked.
Want to throw it. Yeah. in the garbage after 2 years, and I think that's a very smart move. But again, who's to say how long that's going to be before those come out?
Yeah, that's and just the way they kind of handle it, I almost feel like they were sort of being like, we're not out, you know, we need to do something, we need to like put our foot in the pool a little bit,
right?
They started talking about Mac Pros in the investor meeting, is that correct? Like, that was like last week. There was some mention of it, I believe.
That's when I was in vacation.
So there was a brief mention of it. And
this was like a follow-up, you mean?
And this was sort of a follow-up. And my impression was they didn't want to go into detail on it in a venue where questions could be asked.
Right.
And I think here this seemed like a pretty one-way conversation. Relatively.
Yeah, a little round table.
A little round table where like it was a much more, as you said, controlled. And it could fill in a lot of the blanks that people might have still had. That, you know, companies are deciding, like, do I buy 50 Mac Pros now?
Right.
Or do I wait a year? Or do I go to Windows? Like, right. These are decisions that companies need to make right now. So I think they're trying to stem the tide on that stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's true. For Apple, it's like only, a single digit percent of the Mac audience is that.
Sure. Right.
So it still matters, but I think they're acknowledging that it's not – the biggest
the crux of
it's everything. Not the crux of everything.
Yeah. Well, it's also I think an influential percent.
It's a very influential.
Like these
percent.
Are people that are working in media, working in film, working in entertainment, and
who have a lot of money to spend.
And that stuff carries along. I mean,
for sure.
Yeah. Well, I think, and then this is not Mac Pro related, but then it comes back to I just look year after year about if there is going to be a resolution with the iPad and the Mac. Whether they fuse or whether one grows up to become the successor to the other, that decision or figuring out what's going on there is taking its toll on the product line now.
Right. It's holding everything up.
Yeah, because both the iPad, which has not changed all that much now in a handful of years.
And people aren't buying them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then – but it's – and people actually say that they like them, but they're just – they're not – you know, they know things changing.
And
it's like they're fine.
You can't do work on them necessarily.
I write on them, and it's like, yeah, I like it, but it's like – that's the problem is it hasn't unlocked the rest of it in a way that a Surface
– Right. And they've hit a wall.
If you need to.
iPads have hit a wall.
Well, and then on the Mac side, it's hit a wall where, like, you know, you don't necessarily need a touchscreen, but you can tell, like you mentioned, in terms of creative design and software – it is so very different than the iPad in parts where it's like so many things run through iTunes on a Mac, which is incomprehensible now because on the iPad they move iOS that moved so well beyond that from the get go.
Yeah.
So it's like two different mindsets that haven't quite resolved each other.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to, but then when, and then how, and then it's like,
tying it all together does not sound easy.
Yeah.
But it is like that moment where you kind of feel like, now it's starting to feel like it's holding things up a little bit. Yeah. Where you're like, what laptop do I get? And it's like, well, these things are still working like very traditional laptops.
For sure.
Which is now, they're one of the last, the last that are doing that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
All right, this has been great. We'll have to see how it shakes out. Scott Stein, thank you so much for being here.
Hey, thanks. Scott. Yeah.
Always a pleasure having you around. Welcome back, and sorry for your Penn Station woes.
It has been inspired some creativity.
Hey, well, at least you can see the silver lining.
That's
in
all you could ask for.
You can follow the photos. I know. I should do a book.
Follow the stream of dark, dystopian, industrial photos.
Yeah, I might get my phone photo book.
Spewed out from the Twitter account of Scott Stein.
Thank you for appreciating.
At Jet Scott. Mr. Frushdick,
yep.
We will say goodbye to you.
Adios.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
What's new? What's the latest?
Eggs on a random stranger.
Aside from ruining a stranger's shoe, what videos are you putting out into the world?
I'm on vacation next week. I should probably not. I will not be here.
Okay, you will not be here next week.
It just occurred to me.
I probably will not be here next weekend, too. Okay. So heads up.
2 weeks.
There'll be a rerun
we'll be back
next
in 2
week.
Weeks.
Oh, wow. Back in 2 weeks. Thank you so much for tuning in. This has been the 404 Show. Always a pleasure. Have a wonderful weekend. I'm going to go next door and just beat up people from Giant Bomb.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're all drinking the same fruity seltzer.
Fruity seltzer is underrated. It's underrated and underappreciated.
It's good.
All right. Enjoy.
I don't want that to distract you from your anger.
I'm still mad. I'm still mad.
Still be angry.
Still upset. Yeah. Have a good one, guys.